All right. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 21. Try not to be too long tonight. We're still talking about Christian character attributes, or attributes of Christian character. So I just want to say a few words tonight about this right here. Just honesty. Being honest. Don't you think a Christian ought to be honest?
Yes, sir.
Honest is the opposite of a liar.
Yeah.
It's just about as simple as you can put it. But let's read these verses here. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 21. The Bible says, providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. Well, there's a lot there. Providing for honest things. The more I look at this, the more I can think of to talk about concerning this subject, being honest. There's a lot of different directions you can go that need to be covered. I mean, we need to realize that honesty is not just not lying. Honesty is not just being truthful in your dealings with people. Providing for honest things. You got to be diligent about it. You got to make sure from all different angles in order to be really honest. It's not something you can just trifle with and lightly do and partially do. You're either honest or you're not honest. You're either truthful or you're not truthful. And people have confidence in you accordingly. Either or. They either have confidence in you because you've proven yourself to be honest. Thoroughly honest. You've provided for honest things. You've preempted any kind of thing that could happen that would cause people to think you're dishonest. See? You can stay out of a lot of trouble by cutting it off away ahead of time instead of getting right up to it and then. Yeah. You know, I think I was telling you the other day, maybe, or maybe I said something about it here, but I don't know where I read it, heard it, or what, but I did read it about Joel Osteen said, he will not be alone with a woman besides his wife. I mean, he's diligent about not being caught in a situation where he's alone with another woman under any circumstance. And I thought, wow, him? But that's just plain old common sense. That's what that is. Plain old common sense. That's providing for things honest. You know, and I hate to use him for an example of what's right here, but I mean, it just is. Now, if that's true, then bully for him. Good for him. Because a lot of preachers are not that careful. They don't watch it and they don't look out for themselves. But anyway, let's read Romans chapter 12, verse 17. It's real short. I can read it and you can mark it down. Romans 12, 17. The Bible says, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things, there it is again, provide things honest in the sight of all men. Just make sure that it's honest. True. On the level. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12. Having our conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. What kind of reputation do Christians have in this time that we live in? Do they have a reputation for being honest? No, they don't. No, they don't. In fact, I can remember 30 to 40 years ago when Uncle Ronnie worked for the tie company, and that was one of the high risks. Car salesmen and preachers were bad credit risk. Ain't that awful?
Yes, sir.
When the Bible says providing for things honest. I can't find it. Where am I looking at here? Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles. Oh, in Romans 12:17, provide things honest. 2 Corinthians 8:21, providing for honest things. It's a shame when Christians are looked upon as risk.
Right.
Because they're liars, they're cheaters, they're con men.
Yep.
They won't pay their bills, their debts. They won't keep their word. Well, it says right here, they speak against you as evildoers. Well, they do that. They did it then, they do it now. Mm-hmm. We're not providing for things honest if it's that way. Well, I don't imagine that there's anybody here or anywhere else that doesn't know what honesty means. You know, we could read it out of the dictionary, but it's just, in principle, an upright disposition, moral rectitude of heart, a disposition to confirm or to conform to justice and correct moral principles in all social transactions. So, but I don't think we need a dictionary to know what honest is. All people know that it means to be truthful, it means to be fair, and it means to be just in all of your dealings with everybody. That includes husband and wife and children and church and people you do business with, people you work with, people that you just brush shoulders with. Truthful. Honest. You know, this is a big problem that we face right now. We were talking about it this afternoon. Everything is a lie. Everything you see in the news, everything you watch on Facebook or see on Facebook, it is so full of lies and misrepresentations by everybody. It's not just one group that's doing it. Everybody's that way. Nobody will be completely honest about anything. And that's what's killing us, man. It's destroying us. Because we've all learned, even the supposed Christians and religious conservatives, they've learned how to spin things on the other side to make them look as bad as they can make it look by leaving out little parts, not explaining the situation, taking something out of context and saying that somebody said, well, that's dirty, rotten, it's dishonest. When you don't try to portray the absolute truth about what they said, what they did, what they're going to do, it don't matter which side's doing it, it's wrong and it's evil, it's dishonest. There's no place for it in a Christian. You're going to have to withdraw from that stuff. You're going to have to quit participating in it if you're going to maintain a testimony for God. Because you got to be honest. If you, you know, and I'll get ahead of myself here, but if you lie one time, I mean, if you lie to me one time, I don't trust you. If I lie to you one time, you just don't trust me. You say, well, you just thought, that's not fair, and you should, it doesn't matter what you say or think about it, it's a fact of life. You deceive me, you lie to me, you've broken the trust. I know that you are dishonest. If you lie to me once, why wouldn't you lie to me again? How can I trust you? So it's mighty important, this thing here. One of the most important things is that you learn to be honest in your words, in everything you say. People are not. They're just careless. They handle everything loosely with their words they say, what they tell about somebody, some subject, something they read, something they believe. You know, they play fast and loose with words and ideas. All people know what it means to be truthful. We're to be just and fair and truthful in all our dealings with other people. Well, we have a lot of dealings with other people. You know, we do. Just in talk, if nothing else. Just in relating things that happen and you know, all kinds of things. Think about how many people you talk to. Even those of us here who don't get out much and mix around in people and everything, you still talk to quite a few people. You communicate a lot with people. And you got to be careful to be honest in your dealings with them. In all our opinions of other people, we need to be honest about it. I wish I could express that a little better, articulate that a little better, because we form opinions based on false information. That's not honest. Mm-hmm. That's right. That's dishonest. Mm-hmm. And then we've become a partaker of other men's sins. And it's sin of our own when we misrepresent. Even if we heard it from somebody else, it doesn't. That's no out for us. Just because somebody told us and then I told them, I didn't know it wasn't true, you're still guilty. You ought to make sure it's true before you tell somebody else something. Just because somebody else said it, that won't hold up in court, you know. In their court, in the worldly courts, that won't hold up. Well, they told me, and so I said, if you tell that lie on the stand, you're still perjuring. You're telling something that's not true. How much of what you say to other people do you absolutely know to be true? I mean, can you prove it? Boy, that'll cut our conversation down a whole bunch. Most of what we tell, say, and talk about, we don't really know. We just heard it. Or we read it somewhere. Or we saw it in a video. And so we don't know. All in all our conversation and the words of our mouth. Oh, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. The words of my mouth be acceptable in thy sight. They're not acceptable if they're not true. Absolutely true. With no mix of any false information whatsoever. Gotta tell the truth. Or we're not honest. It means to really be truthful and fair. Not just pretending to be. And you know, I know that you're just listening to me and say, but I wish you could catch each one of these points. Most people just pretend to be honest. They just pretend. They try to make everybody else believe they're honest when they're really not honest. They tell the truth sometimes, but not all the time. And you know, people get in this habit of dressing up their conversation. When they tell a story, they'll embellish it with things that are not really there. A lot of people are not real observant, because I'm getting ahead of myself again here, but people are not observant about what they watch and hear. They just catch a word here and there, and they go tell somebody what, and it's incomplete. Maybe completely wrong. I see it all the time. I hear people tell stuff and it's, no, that's not what happened. That's not what they said. Well, where'd you get that from? Well, I thought that's what they said. No. That's right. Well, I'm really full of that. Your imagination does that. And I got a little word or two to say about that here tonight, but I got to be careful about that or I get off on another subject. You got to be truthful and fair. An honest person is always honest. Not just when it's to his advantage to be. If you're honest, you're honest. And we're talking about an honest heart. We're talking about a mind that is stayed on truth. And out of the heart, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Right? So that honesty has to be there. Your heart has to be honest. That means set on truth. Hate lies. You know, God hates a lying tongue. Yes, sir. All liars are going to have their part in a lake of fire. I mean, God absolutely hates it because it ruins and destroys everything. A lie. To be honest means to be totally objective in all our dealings with others concerning ourselves. You see, our feelings and desires and even our well-being is set aside in order to obey the truth and do what's right. You tell the truth no matter what. No matter if it costs you. No matter if people hate you. You know, it can cause people to hate you if you tell them the truth. In fact, Jesus said that one time. And because I tell you the truth, you want to kill me. Why would you hate me for telling you the truth? Well, how could he do anything else? You know about somebody that was completely honest. He ain't going to tell them a lie. But I mean, it's always objective. Totally objective. I mean, I've got to tell you the truth, no matter if it makes you not ever want to see me again. I've got to tell you the truth. Got to tell you the truth, even if it's going to cost me money. Boy, There's where most dishonesty. But the love of money is the root of all evil. So the root of all evil is bound to have some dishonesty in it. I mean, I'd say the love of money is the root of all dishonesty. Pretty much. Somehow. Psalm 15, verse 1 and 2. This is a psalm of David. He said, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? You understand what he's asking? Who's going to go to heaven? Who's going to live forever with God? And then he answers the question. He says, he that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. And he goes on and says some other things, but that's how he first answers that question of who's going to heaven, who's going to be with God forever. Yep. People with an honest heart. Yes. That speak the truth in his heart. It's a trait of good character, and it's a product of a good heart. Honesty is. Mm-hmm. You see, honesty has a lot to do with what comes out of your mouth. Mm-hmm. And what comes out of your mouth came from your heart, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. We read that just the other day. And it named a bunch of other stuff, lies and everything, all come from the heart and out of the mouth. And so, it's a trait of good character, having an honest, being honest. And let me tell you something else. It is necessary for salvation. There's nobody ever got saved that didn't get flat honest with God when they met. Because the Bible says this. Luke chapter 8 and verse 15, it's the parable of the sower. After the seed fell by the wayside and in stony ground and among thorns, and then some fell on good ground. Some fell on good ground. And he said, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. What was the difference? He had an honest heart. And all the rest of them, man, they loved hearing with joy. Anon with joy, they received the word. And oh, they were happy. And they continued for a little while. But when persecution came, or tribulation, they forgot it and left. Well, the difference in the two was one was completely honest at the altar with God and the other was not. Not completely honest. Truthful about who I am, what I am, where I'm at as a sinner. Lost, separated, alienated, at enmity with God. And who God is. Honest about who God is. You got to get honest. Who I really am, what I really am worth, and who God is, and how far separated I am from Him, and whose fault it is. You got to be honest about that. You can't sit there at that altar and think that it's my mama's fault, or my daddy's fault, or it was somebody else's fault, or, you know, it's my sorry hard luck that I ended up this way, and Lord, would you just save me? You love me, and if you'd just give me these things that I've missed in life and right all these wrongs, you ain't going to get saved like that. You got to come to God humbled. Some point, you got to realize you've blown it. And you've made a mess of your life, soul, everything. You've ruined it all. And this is your last hope. God's the only one that can do anything to save me, to rescue me, to change me from this worm, this wretch that I am. And He can do it. And He will do it when you get honest about who you are and where you're at and whose fault it is that you're where you're at. They're doomed forever if they keep trying to lie to themselves about it ain't my fault.
Right.
It is necessary for the Christian to be honest. It is necessary. It's necessary to have the trust and confidence of others. People to say they don't care what other people think. You better care what other people think of you. You don't care about your reputation. You don't care what other people think of you. You don't care that they might think you're a liar and a crook and a deceiver? And why, you still want to claim to be a Christian? It's necessary for a Christian to be honest. It's necessary to have the trust and confidence of others. I mean, if you don't have the confidence and trust of others, life is going to be hard for you. Whether you go to try to buy a car, Gary, right? Well, you need a house to live in. Yeah. It's going to be rough for you. Because your reputation follows you. A good name is rather to be chosen than choice silver, gold, and silver. You'd rather have, you better have a good name. How you get a good name? Be honest. It'll make life easier for you and better for you. I mean, you'll get opportunities that you wouldn't get otherwise. I'm getting ahead of myself. It is key to our reputation. That's the main thing about our reputation. People might know, like, they know Seth's a carver. They know Gary works at a car dealership. Mike works at a sawmill. That's what they know me. I mean, people know me, know that about me. You know, they know that stuff. But what really, and all that don't really matter to them. They don't care where you work or how, you know, about that. What really matters to people and what really sticks in their minds is whether you're honest or whether you're a liar.
Yeah, that's right.
And I can think of people through my life, liar, liar. I can tell you stories about people I went to school with. And the first thing I'd have to tell you, well, he's the biggest liar that I ever knew in my life.
Yep.
He couldn't open his mouth without lying. That's right. That's a shame. Can you trust somebody like that? No, you can't. You can't trust them in nothing. It gets to be kind of a joke with people. I mean, I've known different ones that just loved to tell lies. Just make up stories and tell lies. And then get mad if you didn't believe it and pretend with them. Kind of like these weirdos that think they're men that think they're women and women think they're men. They want you to play their game with them and pretend like little children. And they get mad if you don't. But they get to the point where it's just a game with them or a habit. I don't know what in the world. But I don't know how you could get that way to where you didn't understand that people are not only laughing at you, they don't take you seriously, but they think you're totally untrustworthy. Man, it's just so important. Your word is more important than anything you've got. People used to understand this. You know, all the old timers like me used to always tell you, you know, men, a handshake was good enough. If a man gave his word, it was so ingrained in everybody in our nation that even outlaws use that for the final thing. I give you my word as a gentleman. And it still meant something. Because that's the ultimate thing. Do people know that you tell the truth? That you seek out the truth to believe? First of all, providing for things honest. Do they know that you reject all these harebrained, crazy, kook nonsense that we hear and see all the time? Do they know that about you? Because if they don't know that about you, then they don't believe you're honest either. You get full of false information. In order to tell the truth all the time, you got to have the truth in your heart and in your mind. Your mind has to be filled with truth, has to be stayed on the truth. Or your mouth's going to blurt out a bunch of stuff that ain't true because it's in your heart and in your mind. Unless we're known to be truly honest, we'll not have a good name. It's necessary to our reputation. We'll not have a good name, and not only us, but our family won't because of us. Our children and whoever we're associated with will suffer because of it. If you got a church, and certain ones in the church are dishonest, it'll hurt the whole church. It'll give us a bad name without. People say, well, I know where they go to church. So they automatically Just assume that we're all like that. There ain't much preaching goes on up there. There ain't much influence from that place for them to be like this. So it hurts your family. People just do that. Fair or not. That's just the way it is. And it's not, and there's a reason for it. Because as the mother is, so is her daughter. And children do, for the most part, follow in the footsteps of their parents in character and things like that. Yes. Not always, but most of the time, yes. So if daddy is a drunk, everybody thinks the son's going to be one. Now, he may not always be one, but he's a lot more inclined to be one than most everybody else. I mean, if you're taking odds, that the odds would be against him. Don't mean he has to. Don't mean he's forced to, but it's just the influence on his life. So, if daddy is a crook, if he's dishonest, if he's a liar, they're not going to trust these kids either. The opposite is true. If he comes from a family that's honest, they're going to trust him until he proves himself dishonest. They'll go on his father's name and his grandfather's name, his family's reputation. The bank will trust them.
Yeah, sure.
Don't tell me they won't. Yeah, they do. Until they prove that they can't be trusted.
Right.
That their name doesn't really... It's key to our testimony as a Christian. If we're not completely honest and provide no occasion for suspicion on the part of others toward us. See, providing for all things honest, that means making sure that there's not something that people can accuse us of because of circumstances. Just like what I said a while ago about being alone with a woman, you know, that's not your wife. Just somebody seeing that. Even if there wasn't nothing to it, you gave occasion. You didn't provide for all things honest. You didn't prevent things from being seen that could be perceived another way. And you can't blame them for perceiving it another way. If it looks bad, we're to abstain from all appearance of evil. So that means you got to watch what you do. There's all kinds of things involved in this. It's like I said, you know, people can see you in places, see you come out of places, see you around places, and get a totally wrong picture of what's going on. And then assume you're not honest. I mean, and it could be totally wrong, but we got to cover that. We got to be careful about that and cover that. We were cutting some timber one time. We went out to the skidder one morning, and there was two cases of beer on the skidder? Oh, one case of beer. The landowner thought we would really like it, so she brought us out a case of beer and put on the skidder. Well, that was when we first started. She evidently didn't know us very well. We didn't drink the beer. And we didn't take it home. Wasn't it, Dad, you talked to her and told her we didn't want it, and she took it and gave it to somebody else? Old Tim said he'll drink it. But I mean, if somebody would have come out there in the woods and here's our skidder with a case of beer on it, they'd have went back and said, you know what that Mike Miller and his dad are doing out there in the woods while we're supposed to be cutting logs? We've seen it with our own eyes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But see, a person that would do that's not honest. They should say, now I know better than that. These guys wouldn't do that. There's got to be some kind of explanation. You'll look for the explanation and you won't think evil of somebody and charge them with being liars and dishonest and crooked unless you absolutely are forced to by the truth. So they're not honest either. Provide for things honest. To be honest is to never lie. It's not all right to lie to the devil. I don't care if some preacher tells you that it is. It is not all right to lie to the devil. I have heard preachers say that. It's okay to lie to the devil. I was told it's okay to lie to the border guards at the border going into Mexico. I was told that by another missionary. That's what I ought to do, he said. And if I didn't do it, I wasn't going to get along very well. If I hadn't learned to lie to him. And even then, not knowing any more than I knew then, I told her, that is not right. And I am not going to do that. And we didn't do it. And we never had much trouble. It's not all right to tell a little white lie. I mean, I'm just trying to really stress to you that it is just not all right to lie. Because almost everybody believes that it is under certain circumstances. There are some noble reasons for lying. Most people believe it that way. Even though the Bible says God hates a lying tongue. I mean, of the seven things God hates, there it is. Number one. It's not all right. It's not all right to tell a little white lie. Why would you do that? Well, to keep from hurting somebody's feelings. Well, why don't you just not say nothing then? I've found all kinds of ways to keep from saying something rather than lying. Don't it choke you when you try to say something that ain't true? I mean, if it can just flow right out of you, you got something really bad wrong in there. That's right. I mean, does the Spirit of God check you at all on your tongue when you're talking and saying things? Well, He does me. He has all along. I just can't twist it. I mean, I just got to tell the truth. This has got to. I got a conscience I got to live with. It's not all right. It's not all right to misrepresent the facts for any reason. Just tell the truth. No matter if it's going to cost you. Tell it like it is. No matter what circumstance you're in. You're following somebody too close. They hit their brakes, and then you hit them. Well, when the cop gets there, what are you going to say? Well, yeah, what's the cop going to say? Number one, if you hit somebody in the rear end, you are in trouble. That's just the way it is. You're following too close. You wasn't paying attention. Yeah, you're going too fast. Back off. I mean, you took the driver's test. How many car lengths are you supposed to have between you and the car in front of you? Anybody know? You're supposed to have a car length for every 10 mile an hour you're traveling. Yes. And you passed the driver's test? If you're going 30 miles an hour, that's three car lengths. That's like in town driving. Through Piedmont, three car lengths in front of you. That's how far back you're supposed to be, not 10 feet. If you're going 50 mile an hour, that's five car lengths. You know, that's 80 to 100 feet. Right. Well, we got sidetracked there. It's not all right to misrepresent the facts for any reason, in any situation. To avoid trouble for ourselves or for others. That's no excuse to misrepresent the facts. Oh, I wish I could hammer this down because this is where people become dishonest. This is where we see the dishonesty. Maybe you wouldn't rob a bank. Maybe you wouldn't cheat somebody out of $1,000. Maybe you wouldn't see somebody drop a $100 bill and just snag it for yourself and say, maybe you wouldn't do that. But boy, if it just keep you from getting in trouble a little bit, save you a little bit of money or, you know, on a fine. A person, to avoid hurting somebody's feelings, that's not a good reason to lie. There's other ways to get around that without just lying. You hear me? Like I said, you don't have to say anything. You can figure out a way to not say anything. or you can figure out a way to explain it in a way without hurting their feelings. I mean, you know, does this dress make me look fat? Now, what are you going to do? Oh, this looks beautiful. When you're really thinking, good night. Looks like a cow. You know, I mean, I'm not saying you ought to just say everything you're thinking.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. Well, if I say what I'm thinking, it's going to cause trouble, see? If I say the truth, that's also going to cause trouble unless I say it in the right way. Yes, you got to learn to be tactful. And that just means being kind and sensitive to the other person's feelings and thinking about what they're thinking about and needing to hear without lying to them.
Yep.
Well, sort that out. A person who's truly honest will simply be careful with his words, that they're completely true. And he'll guard against any mistakes or misunderstandings. I've been preaching for all these years, and I've learned a little bit about that. I learned a little bit about how to be better at that. I still don't do it exactly right, because sometimes people misunderstand what I say. But I try and to guard against that, because I know that I can say things in a certain way, and it's going to be misunderstood. Well, I don't want that. I don't want people to think that I think or feel or believe certain things that I don't, that are wrong. I don't want people to have a reason to accuse me of believing such and such. They'll do it no matter what, but I'm not going to give them the occasion for it if I can possibly help it. You've always been accused of sinless perfection. And I still have people that'll pick out a little phrase of that I said in a message or something. And that's what they stake. They lay to my charge all kinds of false doctrine that I believe because of a 4 or 5 word phrase that I said, taken out of context. If they would have heard, or if they would be honest and quote the whole thing I said, they'd understand. And so would everybody else. But they want to misrepresent me to other people, saying I believe in this when I do not believe in that. And anybody that knows me well knows I don't. But they still lay it to my charge. Because they're dishonest. And I don't want to give dishonest people ammunition against me. You shouldn't either. So you got to be very careful with all of your words that you speak. Let your communication be yay. Yay, yay. Or nay, nay. That's not like a horse, nay, nay. I mean, that means no. Yes or no. Amen or no. Amen or no men. Because you can do all kinds of things with that word, can't you? A man, a woman. That'll be that guy's legacy. Just think about that. That's what he'll be known for. So we got to be, you know, in order to be completely honest in our words, we got to be diligent in our listening so that we don't absorb false information. Now, I already covered that a little bit, but I'm just going to swing around and hit it again here. In order to be completely honest with what comes out of your mouth, you got to be completely honest with what comes into your ears and into your eyes. It's like the illustration I gave before about seeing somebody in a certain place or seeing like the bear on our log skidder. You know, you got to be honest about what you're taking in if you're going to be honest about what's coming out. You got to listen on purpose and listen to the whole of things. Don't just listen and pick out a little bit here and there and try to think you understand when you don't understand. We got to be in complete control of our imagination so that it doesn't manufacture false realities in our mind and then we speak them out of our mouth, and they're not true. Man, I see that a lot. Heard a little of it yesterday. Total imagination. False facts. Total false facts, but yet a story. that somebody believes. You're not honest. When you get honest with God and yourself, then you can be honest with other people too. You got to be careful about your imagination. We've been preaching on this on Wednesday nights, and boy, I've got a lot to say about that. But your imagination does that. It manufactures false stories and realities out of false perceptions you have taken into your mind. And so you got to be careful about that. It's not. It might just be coming out of your mind. Vain imagination. A lot of it is. What you think of people, what you believe people have done or said. There's more trouble between people and more falling outs and separation and division among people because of what people think somebody said or because of what they think somebody else thinks concerning them or something they've done than there is about really stuff that's really happened. That's the truth. It's mostly imagination. So be careful with that. Now, true honesty respects what belongs to other people. I'm talking about their stuff, their things, their possessions. True honesty respects other people's property. A truly honest person will not take what belongs to somebody else without their knowledge and consent, no matter how insignificant it might seem. Oh, I know this is really going to go over like a lead balloon, but I mean, never a borrower or a lender be. All through my life I've had this deal, you know, and it's been mostly in church and among church people that borrow things and they don't bring them back. See, I told you. It'd be a lead balloon. Oh, well, yeah. Well, that's poor old Danny. He borrowed my ladder, and he kept it and kept it and kept it. And finally, I went and got it and brought it home. I just had it, I don't know, a day or two. He come and got it again, and he kept it again. And it flew out of his truck and on the interstate, and the truck ran over it and ruined it. So he had to buy me a new ladder. That was one guy. Then another guy borrowed my ladder. This other guy had bought me to replace my ladder. He borrowed my ladder. And it fell out of his truck and got ruined. And he had to buy me a new ladder. So I bought one ladder, but I've had three new ladders that other people had to buy because, well, they were honest enough to buy a new ladder. But I mean, we used to have tapes. We had preaching tapes. That used to be a thing you did in church. We did. We all had all these tapes of people. I've got tapes of Reggie Kelly Dwight gave me years and years ago. But I had tapes all the time. And we'd loan them to people. Well, I learned that there were certain people in the church that you just didn't loan them to. Because you weren't going to see them never again. No matter how much you asked for them, no matter how many times you reminded them, they ain't giving them back. So if I wanted them to hear it, I just made a copy and gave it to them. I said, here. So I knew I wasn't going to get it back. Same with books and things like that. Well, when you borrow something, whose is it? It's still theirs. It's still theirs. Now, if you keep it, what have you done? You stole it. You weren't honest because, and you know, a lot of people, they just have it so long, they think it's theirs. I don't ever do that. I always remember that ain't mine. I've never liked to borrow stuff because sometimes you break it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I remember when we first went to Virginia, Steve Woodson, Kim's dad, we had to borrow, we was working in the church there and we had to borrow a chop saw. Well, we borrowed Steve's chop saw. Well, we were back there working. And somehow I got a board with a nail in it, and I hit a nail, ruined the blade on Steve's chop saw. Well, I bought a new blade and put on it. You're going to take it back to him and say, hey, blade's ruined, you're going to have to fix that. I knew another guy did that. Borrowed a tool from somebody and broke it and handed it back to him and said, man, that thing ain't no good. It's broke. He did it. Well, that raises your opinion of people when they do stuff like that, don't it? Well, Steve felt bad because I had to buy a blade. He said, "You didn't need to do that. My goodness." And, but yeah, how in the world am I going to give him back his saw with a ruined blade? Well, it ain't no good. He gave it to me, loaned it to me, good. How can I give it back to him all busted, broke, ruined? A truly honest person will not take what belongs to somebody else without their knowledge and consent, no matter how insignificant it may be. That's the attitude of this generation as well. If they got two of them and I don't have any, what's it going to hurt? I ain't going to hurt them to just have one, me one. People at work on jobs where there's stuff easy to get, they take stuff. Tools. Yeah, that's purloining. That's exactly what it is. That's the Bible word for that, stealing from your employer. What'll they do to you at Walmart if they catch you doing that, Coda? Bye. Yep. They fire you. No tolerance. You're gone. I expect they'd do that down there where you work, wouldn't they, Gary? Yep. Yeah. They don't take kindly to it. They you know why? Because they can't trust you. They're going to allow you access to everything they've got. And when you're going to steal from them? Nope. A truly honest person will guard what belongs to others as he would what belongs to himself. Now, if you're honest, you will. If you do have something you've borrowed from somebody, you'll take good care of it to make sure nothing happens to it because that belongs to so-and-so. You'll have that attitude. Let me hurry. To be truly honest is one of the most important character traits a person can have. It affects our everyday living and business more than anything else. It really does. This thing right here, it affects your everyday living and interaction with other people more than anything else. Are you honest or not? Are you really honest? It makes us accepted about every social situation or group, while we'll be rejected, ignored, and set aside if we're suspected of being dishonest. Now, did you hear me? It makes us, being honest, it'll promote you at work, anywhere. It'll make your marriage much better. It's going to be a mess if you can't trust. If you lie, if you hide, if you deceive, if you misrepresent to one another things, you're going to be having trouble, trouble, trouble. You got to trust one another. You got to be able to trust. It makes us accepted in every situation, social situation or group, if we're honest. If we're dishonest, we're rejected. Now, that's just the way it is. It's that way with children playing together. And it continues that way all through life. It brings us opportunities that are lost to us if we're known or suspected of being dishonest. What kind of reputation do loggers have in this part of the country? They have a reputation of being dishonest. Now, if you have a reputation of being honest, you know who's going to get the timber? The one that's honest. The one that has the reputation of being honest. Somebody asked me the other day about selling some timber to somebody and wanted me to tell them who, you know, give them some names. Well, I could tell them about some and I could say, now they're honest. They'll do you right. They're honest. Because they've always been that way. No bad stories. No incidents. No talk, nothing I've ever known of, where they were thought dishonest. There were some others. I said, no, I wouldn't deal with them if I were you. Because, well, they're just not honest. So, chances are, who will get the timber? The one who has a reputation of being honest. Reputations don't usually lie, do they? I mean, really, for the most part now, the reputation. I mean, you might hear something bad about somebody, but people get a reputation. You know, for the most part, people will They'll have to hear more than just one bad thing about you before they just write you completely off. And so it brings opportunities to us that are lost if we're known or suspected of being dishonest. One more thing, if I can get it out. It opens up our understanding of the Word of God if we're honest. And not only of the Word of God, but of all things. Voila. A dishonest heart is closed to anything but selfish interests and selfishness. An honest heart. I wish I could expound on that a little bit more, but it really does open your understanding of the Word of God if you're honest. Why are there so many people that don't understand, have a shallow understanding in the things of God? I'm going to say this, and I really believe it's true. The biggest reason is they're not completely honest before God and with themselves. If that, the more honest you get, the more it'll open up to you. And you'll understand. So honesty is the best policy for this life and all of our actions and interaction among other people and also before God and for eternity. You're going to benefit greatly by being honest. You're going to suffer greatly if you're dishonest. All right, Father, we thank you for the Word of God. I know this is right tonight, and I pray you'd bless it to our hearts and help it to be understood and apply it in our lives. Lord, go with us now, I pray. Watch over us through this week ahead of us. Give us opportunities to be a witness for you. And Lord, to be a blessing to other people. I pray you'd keep us all safe and healthy and close to thee. We love you, Lord, and thank you for the good Lord's day. In Jesus' name, amen.